Father, you are so awesome. You just tickle me. You delight me. I'm in awe of you. And I thank you that you love us. You love us. You haven't abandoned us. And I thank you, Father, for giving us the word, Jesus, the word, the living word. And I thank you for the word, the Bible. And I thank you, Father, for the word that goes forth today, that it will explode in our hearts. It'll direct our hearts. It will give answers. It'll take us higher in you so we can be and do all you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you haven't been with us for our series, we're doing a series called Your Worst Bad Day Ever. Sounds so uplifting. Okay, but we are on week 4, Worst Bad Day Ever. Anybody have a worst bad day ever? And we found out worst bad days, some days they're only one day, some days they last a week, sometimes they can last a year. And the reason why we're talking about this is because Jesus had the worst bad day ever when he hung on the cross. That was the worst bad day ever, right? And he went through a whole bunch of things while he hung on the cross. And while he hung on the cross on his worst bad day ever, he's made several statements. And what we're doing, and I don't know, I think I got about 7 of them we can go through. I may just wrap it up by Thanksgiving. I don't know. But these statements, I feel that they will help us walk through our bad days. So we're going to talk about some more of the things that Jesus said. Now, you can find these statements that Jesus made. If you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you kind of have to put them in order and stuff. But Jesus had the worst bad day ever. He had pain. He was just lied about, just shamed. It was just horrible on his worst bad day ever. When he hung on the cross for who? Yeah. Yep, he hung on the cross for us. So he's hanging on the cross, and he has been shamed, humiliated, lied, and then if that wasn't bad enough, all of a sudden, it goes dark. All of a sudden, it goes dark. You remember reading your Bible? It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sun should be shining, but all of a sudden, it goes dark. And Jesus is hanging on this cross, and it's dark. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get into doubt, it's usually my dark places. Anybody ever get in a dark place and your heads go whirling? Oh, good. I got 3 honest people here. Yeah. No, yeah. You know, you start, you know, it just goes bananas in my head sometimes, all right? So it's easy for me, I don't know about you, to trust God to see him working when everything's working. Right? It's just easy. Oh, God just poured out blessings and my kids are all doing good. Report cards came. They all got A's and this and that. It's easy to trust God when everything's going good. But when things don't, and let's say when they go dark, do you know what can happen? I start getting these, wah, wah, wah. My head starts going, wah, 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 and I start having doubts. Anybody ever have some doubts going on when things aren't good on your worst bad day ever? You start having doubts. Ooh, how about some questions? Questions you thought you'd never ask. I start having all these questions going through here and they start piling up on my worst bad day ever. Cause it's kind of been a dark place. It's just things aren't going well, all right? Now, this happened to Jesus. He's hanging on the cross and all of a sudden things go dark and he says something. He says something and then I didn't feel so bad about some of my questions, but he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Is that what he said? And I'm not saying in Greek, LOLO, whatever. I can't do that. All right. Now, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But remember, Jesus was 100% God, and then he also came as 100% man. Yep, okay, so he's doing that, and he was the lamb slain before the world, and he knew that when he went onto that cross, he knew the plan. He just wasn't like, oh, you caught me surprised. He went to that cross, nobody took it. He went there willingly, and he knew the plan and why he was going to be there. And yet he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I kind of like that. oh, Pastor D, you're so warped. No, no, no. I'll tell you why I said that. I kind of like that because that was the human side of him, and I have a human side. Anybody have a human side that says some things sometimes? Yes, I say some things sometimes, okay? So the human side was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or how about, God, where are you? Anybody say, God, where are you? Oh, I have said that. God, where are you? And but you know what Jesus is showing us, and this is what we're going to get out of this today, I believe. He's showing us in his pain, in his just totally embarrassed. Thank you. Gosh. And all his struggles, he hung on the cross and went through it and came to glory. So in his worst day, he went through it and then went to glory. So when you have these bad days, and I'd love to say life is a bowl full of cherries. It is not. For obvious reasons, but what it's going to speak to us is Jesus had this. He went through this. So when I'm going through a tough day, a bad day that lasts a year, I am going to keep my eyes on Jesus because he made it through it, and I'm going to be strengthened by him, and he'll get me through it. So let me just ask this. What happens on your bad days, especially those bad days that go for a month, 2 months? You know, just circumstances. Sometimes I do them myself. Sometimes I put myself in the pile. I did it. But other times there's things around me, people around me, circumstances around me, and I'm going through some bad days. Okay, so what happens when this is long. And I remember going through one for a year, and it was just hard and hurtful and bad. And I was trying to remember the joy of the Lord is my strength. I probably forgot that one. But what happens to me, and I don't know about you, but I start asking questions like, why God? Anybody ever go, why God? This is like the famous 2-year-old. Why? I guess I become a 2-year-old. All right. But I go, God, why God? Why is there so much evil on the earth? Why God? Why is good people having bad things happen to them? And God, why do bad people have good things happen to them? Anybody ever do the why? God, why did this person just get gloriously healed? And why did this person not? God, why is there so much hurt and pain on the earth? Why? Anybody ever ask the why question? Boy, you guys, if you didn't, you should be up here preaching. You're doing better than I am. But I have asked why. I've asked why, okay? And here's what can happen when we have a lot of whys and questions. We have got questions, they're the whys. God, why? It can start putting doubt in our heart. And because I have this doubt and questions going on in my heart, it can distance me from God. God doesn't move. By the way, God never moves. It's me, right? It'll start, those questions, you start distancing yourself from God. The other thing I saw is people that have these doubts and questions that they don't have answers, the God answers, they'll start distancing themselves from other Christians. Yeah. Anybody ever get isolated? Well, not us. All those other people, right? You isolate yourself, right? You start distancing. You start distancing yourself between people, all right? Now, that is not the way God planned us to do life. We are never to distance ourselves from God. We're never supposed to run away from him or our people, all right? Now, what do you do when you have some doubts? Or let's just say questions. Doubt sounds so negative and I sound so unspiritual, but let's just call it questions, okay? What do you do when you have some questions going on about the things going on in your life? What do? Well, you think you should go to other Christians, right? You should go to the pastor. You should go to church. You should go to your grow group, right? You think you should go there. And sometimes people that are just whirling with just bad days and now enormous questions and that have brought now doubt, you know what happens? The one place that you should go and should be received, I've watched people not go. Or else, not at this church, somebody just slams them and says, well, that's the stupidest thing. What kind of Christian are you for doubting and having that kind of question? Of course, not at this church. We open our arms to everybody. We welcome everybody with their questions, right? We do. Amen. So, we should go to church. Church people, Christians, believers, you should be just be able to ask your questions. And that's why I love grow groups. Anybody been to a grow group where you thought we were just going to talk about this and somebody has a question and it's a big question. It's a good question. And man, we just go down this rabbit trail and lights come off and this person, the weight that they carried because their questions just couldn't make sense, falls off and they get answers. It is glorious. That was my plug for grow groups. Amen. Now, let me tell you about some research that was done by Barnum. He did this research and he researched and he polled thousands of millennials, okay? These are like 30 and under, thousands of them. And he polled them. And these were some of the questions he asked. Well, let me back up. You probably know this, right? But globally, and especially in the United States, which is probably, you know, we're no different than anybody else, there is a mass exit of young people, millennials, from church. Anybody didn't know that? Yeah, it is. There's been this mass exit. So this is why they did this poll, this study, and this is what they found out. When they polled them, I'm going to read this so I don't muff it up here. Said the number one, two-thirds of the millennials struggle with doubts, questions. Two-thirds of them. Now, at this point, we're not talking about Christians or non-Christians. But it says two-thirds of them struggled with doubts about who is God and what is the world and all that stuff. And it says that the number one reason they said they were leaving church and leaving their faith, so this is Christians, I'm sorry, is they didn't feel like they had a safe place to ask questions. I can remember at the dinner table with my kids, my Uncle Pat, my brother, was living with him, and one of my kids asked this horrendous question. It was quite embarrassing. And I just put my head down, oh, Jesus. And my husband just answered it like nothing, okay? Because my kids knew it was a safe place. You could ask your questions. Embarrass me, man. I'm telling you what. I won't even tell you from the pulpit what they asked. Okay? Something they learned on the school bus. Wait. Okay. But our home was a safe place. You could ask questions. But these millennials say that they didn't feel like they had a safe place to discuss their questions and their doubt. Now, I'm telling you what, I think that's a shame that they don't feel that they can come and talk to their youth leader. They can't come and talk to their pastor. They can't talk to whoever that they connect with in life that's a believer. That's a shame. We should have the smile on our face, say, come talk, ask me anything. And I used to love, I still do, I don't have the answer. I love saying that sometimes. And let's get our Bibles out together. I am not ashamed to say I don't know it all, okay? So it said, here we go, 45 that didn't deal with their doubts in the right way stopped attending, 45% stopped attending church. 45% of this millennial group that had been in church stopped attending church. Pastor Sherry and I have talked about this many times, and, you know, it just breaks our heart. Again, so what do we see? They start distancing themselves from the place where they should be able to go, all right? It shouldn't be like that. It says 29% stop praying and reading their Bible. Like, why would I go to God? Because you should go to God. But they just, you know, they had these questions and doubts and they started pulling back. Then it says 25% stopped talking to friends and family about their faith. You know who wins right about then? The enemy. Satan wins because he wants to isolate you and just make you feel like you must be a second-rate Christian because you have this question. You have this doubt about what happened in your life and the circumstances. And the only one that wins is Satan, and it's not supposed to be that way. All right? There's this guy, he's a pastor, he's really a big theologian, and he's just recently turned his church over in New York City, big church, and he's reaching millennials by like the droves. He's just, I believe, gifted, called, and I'm reading this book. Okay. But this is what he said. A faith that has never had to deal with doubt is like a body that doesn't have antibodies. It's weak, and at the first sign of a challenge or resistance, it breaks down. So what he's saying is there's young people that have grown up in our churches, in our homes, and I will tell you, the first person that criticizes them or they just have questions and they didn't feel safe to ask them, or this one happens all the time. The first tragedy that hits them knocks them off the horse. And I don't know how many times a child in high school either commits suicide or a car accident. I've been to too many of those funerals. And it shakes the core out of these, and they distance themselves. And that is the time we should be able to ask some questions and say why. It's okay to say why and dig into the word and find the answers on some of this, okay? So I will tell you personally, and I will tell you scripturally, and I'm going to give you about a dozen scriptures, but your faith should be able to take the whys. Your faith shouldn't be rocked. As a matter of fact, there are actually good things that happen when you have these whys. Questions, because it should and it does, if you do it the right way, strengthen you, and you can walk through those bad days and you are stronger and you have a story to tell and you shine, okay? But it should, it does, if you ask it in the right way. So today, I don't know, I've got five titles, so whatever you want to title this, but today, write this down. Here we go. What do I do with my whys? What do I do with my whys? What do I do with my doubts? What do I do with my questions? We're going to talk about that. Because anybody ever have something earth-shaking, a worst bad day ever that just rocked you? And you walked out with some questions? I have. And I know a bunch of you. So you know who we're going to have to talk about? Job. I don't think I've ever preached about Job from the pulpit, all right? Job. Okay, now, things you need to know about Job. By the way, the Bible was not written Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Actually, the book of Job was written around chapter, would have been placed chronologically, starting with Genesis, in the middle of Genesis, around chapter 12, 11 and 12. That's when Job shows up on the scene. But you gotta go down through your table of contents, and it's about right before Psalms, the book of Job. So again, here we have Job. The things you need to know about that. Job was not a man under a God covenant. Right? Now, Job, if you read Job, and if you were to plop the book of Job where it's supposed to be, like before Genesis 11, he actually predates Adam. I mean, excuse me, not Adam, Abraham. Okay? Now, Abraham had a covenant with God. Job did not. So he's operating in a whole different ball game, okay? And yet, you know what God says about Job? I find no fault with him. What are you kidding me? He's not a covenant man. This did not mean that Job was sinless. This did not mean that Job was perfect. And yet God says, I find no fault in this man. He's not a covenant man. It's because Job loved God with all his heart. All right. So that's pretty cool. Write that down. That's cool. Okay. So when you have Bible trivia, this is, you got two things you can start with. All right. So we've got him. He says, I find no fault with him. He was a righteous man. Let me think. What else can I tell you? The book of Job is divided up into three parts. The first part is what you call historical. All the accounts of Job. The second part, which is the meat of it, 35 chapters. 35 chapters. And in this, there's this dialogue going along of actually complaining. Yes, I said complaining. Job is doing a whole lot of complaining for 35 chapters. So I walk around today, so I'm going, I'm not doing too bad. I didn't do 35 chapters of complaining. But Job did 35 chapters of complaining, all right? 35 chapters, you know, the Bible says lamenting, a.k.a. he was complaining. So we got 35 chapters of Job doing that. And the last couple chapters, we go back to the historical, okay? So there's three parts in Job, what's going on here, all right? Now, we start with Job in the beginning, and he goes from being blessed. He's got blessings coming out of everywhere. He's blessed in his finances. He's blessed, and he has no need. Hallelujah. No needs in his life. Wow. So he's that blessed. No needs. He's got children. His children, they got relationships and family going on. It's just like the picture perfect family. And then, everybody say, and then. And then things start blowing up, all right? Bullets start flying. And all of a sudden, Anybody have one of those days where just things start, bullets just start flying? You started the day, by the end of the day, it's been shot all over the place, and you go, oh my gosh, what happened? Well, this happens to Job, and his kids were all killed. His cattle, by the way, that's money, 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 were all stolen, right? His kids were killed, his cattle were stolen, and then his health falls apart. Horrible. Worst bad day ever, yes? Worst bad day ever. Alrighty, so this is what's going on. And now, his kid, he's lost all these things, but he still has his wife. Guys, this is where you go, yay for the women, the wife. Okay, you guys are missing it, alright? So he still has his wife, and at one point, Job is sitting in a pile of ashes, and he's got boils, like the biggest pimples all over him, right? That's the best way I can explain it. And he's taking broken clay pots, and he's scraping this off. Didn't that make you want to throw up? I just thought I'd just get you. Just scraping this off of him. He's just sitting there miserable. Amen. Miserable. 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 And his wife comes along, and you think she would be the most uplifting woman on the earth, right? Just give him words of encouragement, right? And you know what she says? Not a good one for the woman's team, all right? She says, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? Not a good day for the women, all right? Okay, but seriously, Job is going through the worst bad day ever, and he's got things going on here. And for the next 35 chapters, he and his so-called friends, are, you know, they're just kind of trying to uplift Job and just giving some encouragement, and they're pleading their case to God, and then all of a sudden they do, wah, they go ugly. And they start judging God. Don't do that. Don't do that, okay? And they start saying this, ready? God, what is the matter with you? God, you got this wrong. God, you are wrong. What is going on? Don't do that. Don't do that, okay? So open up to Job chapter 30, verse 20. I got you there. We're all background, okay? And you know, so funny part, these friends were going, hey, you know, God, I got this figured out. You got this wrong. Now, I have been known to say, hey, God, you're a little slow in your plan, and I can write a better program. Anybody say, God, you know, I got a program written, okay? So I would have been one of those friends, okay? But I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. So, Job, chapter 30, verse 20. Job says this about God. So I called to you, God, but you never answered. Now, time out. Job is having the worst bad day ever. But do you think he's kind of exaggerating? I think so. Okay. Okay, let's keep going. Sorry, it was just my 2 cents. So I called to you, God, but you never answered. When I prayed, you paid no attention. You know, I have had moments where I've just gone through some bad days, bad times, bad seasons, where I started going, hey, really, God, I got a program if you're slow on it. Yeah, anybody else? God, I got this. Hurry up, if not, all right? So, now, let's go to Job chapter 38. Jump down to Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, 1 through 5, God shows up. This is after he's, God shows up. And God shows up in a storm. All I could say is, thank God that never happened to me. Do you want God showing up in a storm? Some translations called it a whirlwind. All right, I'm like, oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So God showed up in a storm. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that obscures, or my one translation says, darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? You get a little sarcasm going on with God. For all you sarcastic people, God's just going to dish it with him, all right? So he says, you know, who is this that darkens my counsel without words of knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and I'll show, and you shall answer me. Ready? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations. Tell me, if you understand who marked off its dimensions, surely you know. Can you just see God? All right? I just love that part. Okay, maybe it's just me. Okay. So God's got some little sarcasm going on. Jump down to verse 18. Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all about this, Job. What is the way to the abode of light? Where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the path of their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Man, God is just sticking them, okay? Just like, buddy, all right. Number one, God has existed from always, okay? And he's going, hey, smarty pants, right? Did you hear that? Hey, smarty pants, you think you know it all? All right. So Job finds himself in a place that I think many of us do. Have you ever felt like you knew it all? I have, okay? And it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not, if you're a follower or not. I think many times we get to this know-it-all, and all of a sudden, bam, God's on him in a storm, and he realizes, I don't know it all. I don't know everything. And God knows the beginning to the end. He's planned you before you were born. God knows everything, but I don't. All right. So are you okay not knowing it all? I had to ask myself that question. It was a real slow raise your hand. Are you okay not knowing everything? Yes. Good girl. Okay. Are you okay coming to the terms that there is a great, great God, an awesome heaven, and I don't have to know, I don't know it all, okay? I don't know it all. Are you okay with that? So I love Job's response. Jump down to Job 40. This is his response. Job 40, verse 4. I am unworthy. Praise God, one for Job, answering the question the right way. I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. All of a sudden, Job realizes he doesn't know half of what he thought he knew, and he's just going to shut up, be quiet, and start listening. Praise God. Sometimes I hear this voice in my head, just shut up, D. Don't say it. Just keep your mouth shut. Now I know some people, you shouldn't say shut up, but ooh, okay. Don't say that. Don't say that. All right. So he's going to stop talking, and he realizes only God knows the beginning from the end. And chapter 42, verse 2-5. I know that you can do all things. Job's finally getting smart. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke things I didn't understand. Too wonderful for me to know. Ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Okay. So praise God. I love this. Job's finally going, you know, I've had this bad day for days, and I thought you didn't know what you were doing, and I falsely just reamed you out, God, but I think you know more than I do. I think you're bigger and more knowledgeable. So from there, what I want to talk about is three attributes of God. There's a whole bunch of them, because when you know really who God is, you'll camp out, you'll be safe, you'll be secure, and you can walk through bad days. But if you don't know who God is, he's Father and he's love and all that, but I'm not going to do those today. But if you don't know that, you're going to have these whys and questions, and you're going to just go whirly, squirrely, okay? So I want us to talk about three attributes of God. So if you're taking notes, three attributes of God. Praise the Lord. Let me turn my page. Number one. So again, these are the things that'll get you your roots deep. So when you go through a bad day, you're just not knocked over. All right? You get these understanding who God is. Yes, you're going to have some bad days, but you will stand and strong and you will get through this. So these are important. And today you might be having a bowl full of cherries. Today you're like, Pastor D, everything's great. Wonderful, wonderful. Write it down, put it on a shelf. You may have to dust it out. Or better yet, you might encourage somebody with it. All right. Number one attribute of God. God is all powerful. Ugh. All right. God is all powerful. Now, God is all powerful, which is omnipotent. There's nothing he cannot do. There's nothing he cannot do. All right. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, but follow along. All right. Colossians 1, verse 16. For everything, absolutely, and everything, everything. You notice how he says everything? So everything, absolutely everything, everything got its start from him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. So you know what he's saying? Ready? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I taught children's ministry. But that's what he's saying. Look, I've got it. I'm all powerful. All right? And you got to know that on your bad days. You got to know how big, and I won't do the rest of the song, that God's got it. All right? And when you do know that, when Jesus makes these statements, and you can just write it down in John, 1 John 4:4, he says, hey, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have worst bad day evers. You're going to have pain. You're going to have persecution. And then he says, but take heart because I have overcome. The all-powerful one has overcome. And therefore, because greater is he who is in me than he's in the world, then I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it because of who lives inside of me. So he is all-powerful and I'm going to make it. Praise the Lord. Now, people will come up and say, I've heard this, how can you trust in a God you can't see? How can you believe that he's real? Okay, this is my answer. Ready? I'd rather trust in, rely on an all-powerful God, because I got more scriptures, okay, than to trust in, rely on people and the world. Because have any of those disappointed you? Man, oh day. All right? That contractor. Okay. Okay. So, I just come to the conclusion. I would rather put my faith, my trust, my hope in an all-powerful God. And he will get me through my worst bad day ever. Amen. So, next one, number two. We're just going to cruise along. Number two, God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. That's omniscience, for all of those who want to spell that. Omniscient. Okay. Okay. That means God knows it all. God is the ultimate know-it-all. God knows it all. Aren't you glad? Okay, God has never had a thought occur to him like, oh my gosh, I just thought of this. That would be scary. God knows it all. God knows it all. I'm laughing at him, okay? Praise the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, halfway through your Bible, after Psalms. Isaiah 55. I am so glad that God knows it all. Man, good. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And you know this one. This is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher and your ways and my thoughts are your thoughts. Okay, bottom dollar is God knows it all. God knows it all. And you know, sometimes we're looking to people because they have things hanging on their wall. They're doctor, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and doctorates and masters and stuff like that. But we have a God who knows it all. And that is awesome. And he comes to live inside of you. And he comes and he gives you the Holy Spirit, who's the counselor. He knows all. God knows it all. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, man. Just okay. So what do I do when I'm going through worst day, bad day, month, year, And I have to get my perspective up to God. Because if I'm looking at just what's going on in my life, it looks bad. It's not getting better. Oh my gosh, why did this happen? I don't know about this. I'm just going to get stuck. And guys, I got stuck. I have been stuck in things. But when I got my perspective up to, there is my God, and He knows all. And I will trust that Your knowledge, You'll reveal, and You'll help me walk through it. And then I get out of bed going, okay, we can do this, we can do this. And it's not, I can do this, I can do this. I'm notorious for that. I'm getting better. It's, we can do this, we can do this. We can do this, God. We can do this because You're all knowing. All right? If you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? We don't ever have to be afraid. We don't ever have to be afraid to entrust an unknown future to an all-knowing God. I don't have to be afraid when I don't know, because I can trust in an all-knowing God. And that keeps my head up, my perspective of, and by the way, I dig into the Word, and it's good. I don't have to be afraid. Praise God. And that, listen, I have had to say that. We were singing a song, I Surrender, or one of those. Let me see. Whatever. I can't remember which one it was. But I surrender, and I was singing that, and I thought, I'm surrendering my fear to You, God, because I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to go this way. I don't know how to do that. I don't understand why this happened and that happened, and they got it, and I didn't got that. And I, when we sang that song, I Surrender, those are the things that I was telling the Lord. Maybe because I read my sermon, okay? And I will trust in an all-knowing God who knows. I'm going to trust You because You know. Praise God. So, hallelujah. How many of you have kids or your grandparent? Okay, aren't they the question machine? They just questions. Like, where did you think of that? And they usually ask these questions when you're bone tired, right? Just like, oh my gosh, okay. So you thought it was bad when they were two, because it was just why. But as they get bigger, they get a little one. And a pastor friend shared this. They had been to a meeting. They closed up the building, threw the kids in the car. And I'm sorry, I don't remember how old the little girl was. But this was the question to her dad. Now, in case you don't know, pastors get tired, especially at night. So they're driving home after this meeting, and this little girl says, Dad, do you think the devil will ever say he's sorry? And the dad said, hey, look out the window. There's an eagle. In other words, oh, my gosh, I don't have the how do you answer some of this? My favorite was they'd go, Mom, how do babies come? Go ask your father. Because I'd be seven shades. Of course I know where they come from, but I was seven shades of red. And, you know, just go ask your father, okay? Interesting. I actually do have the answers to most of those, okay? But questions that my kids would ask, what I knew is I knew the stage they were at. I knew their level of maturity, all right? Especially when they're three and they ask where babies come. They don't need the whole medical thing. Just real simple, okay? I knew where my kids were at. So a lot of times I wouldn't tell them the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? You just give them the little, right? Just give them the little. Do I know the answer? Yes, I know the answer. Do you know the answer? Yes, you know the answer. But I chose not to tell them at that time because I knew them, all right? Now, is the truth any less the truth? Is the answer any less the answer? Right. But because I know my children, where they were, or this person, I just would just give them what I can take. Okay. Now, does God, stop laughing. So we have questions. And sometimes I go to God and I am just ripping, just asking questions. And I didn't get the answer I wanted. Matter of fact, I remember saying to this one person, let's stay down the road, all right. As parents and God, sometimes you don't get the answer you wanted at the time. Anybody machine gun God with questions and you didn't get the answer that you wanted? Didn't get the answer, period. Okay? Didn't get the answer, period. Okay? And, you know, a lot of times the answer comes down the road. And sometimes that road, it took 10 years for me to calm down to hear the answer. On a real biggie one that I had, okay? So, but is God all-knowing? Yes, he is, all right? Sometimes he just, you know, I told this one person, I said, listen, I don't know that you can handle the answer right now. That's the love of the Father. And that was me. It took 10 years till me to have my emotions and my head in the game, and I got my answer. And they didn't like my answer, but it was the truth. So, we have doubts. We have questions. It's okay. God's all knowing. And listen, he'll let you know at the right time. And then, okay, there are some questions that you will not get answered till the other side. Amen. That ticks me off. You guys are all going, amen. That's so sweet, Pastor D. That just ticks me off. It's just me. Okay. There was a guy that we went to Rhema. Well, I knew of him, and he was one of the singers, and he went up to Jim and I remember this guy. He joined his dad in ministry up in like Rhode Island or something like that. A young guy, good looking, strapping young guy. And he had just gotten married and went to bed, woke up. Everybody woke up the next day and he did not. He died. Doctor's coroner's reports to this day couldn't say what happened. And he worked for he was hired by his dad, and his dad was just this brilliant, wonderful, been pastoring for years, like well seasoned. He just knows stuff that I'm still trying to learn, okay? And he just went to God with these doubts and questions just for days and days and weeks, and then he just found some scriptures and he said, you know, there's just some things you won't find out till the other side. And you know, the funny thing, when you get to heaven, you're going to be, who cares? Right? But it's this walk, you know, this walk. Okay, so have you ever gone and, of course you had, you know, you're watching Netflix and your little screen here, and you press go forward, go forward, go forward because you want the answer. And sometimes I'm notorious for just, especially reading books. If I don't have time, I just read their last chapter. I just annoy people. I don't have time. I'm just going to read this. Now, because I want to know the answer. So I just go, zip, all right? You know, the only person that doesn't need to know the answer is the guy that wrote the story. They already know the answer. All right. I got to trust. I just got to chill. I got to relax. So sometimes the answer comes eventually. Sometimes you won't know. Sometimes there's just seasons till you're ready. So God is all knowing, I think. All right. Which number are we on? Let's move on to number three. Number three, God is ever present. Omnipresent. God is ever present. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. God is ever present. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, you guys know this one. I'm just going to. Ready? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can say. Now, okay, isn't that interesting? I will never leave you or forsake you. Some translations say, I will never abandon you. Anybody has a different translation? This is God talking to uses. I will never leave you, abandon you, forsaken you. There's another one that says, I'll never leave you as orphans. And yet, here we had Jesus on the cross who said, my God, why have you left me, abandoned me, forsaken me? Okay? Now, shoo. Here's the coolest part. Jesus went to that cross for you and I so that he would take my sin, your sin, the sins of the world, and he would pay a price that only he could because he left heaven, came as man, and took all sin upon him. He was sinless, but he took our sin on him. And that because of that, and he died on the cross, taking our sins, you will never be forsaken. I could cry because of Jesus on the cross. You will never have to say, my God, why would you forsaken me? Because he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. Okay. Praise God, Pastor D. All right. So isn't that amazing? That is why. Now, there's a whole theological thing why Jesus said that, but I want you to think. He got it, and he did it for you, so you never have to have that crazy question go through your head. Amen. All right. Okay, I'm going to read the rest of it. I will never leave you, never forsake you, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do with me? Praise the Lord. Why don't we all say, the Lord is my helper. Woo! Praise the Lord. The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. Shh. Praise God. Woo. He's all present. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, question. Have you ever had the worst bad day ever? Have you ever had a bad day that lasted more than a day, a month, a year, a couple years? All right. Well, all right. Jesus, he suffered so you wouldn't have to. Amen. All right. Now, we do experience not a bowl full of cherries. We do have days where it is just hard, and I cause 50% of my mess, okay? You all call the other 50. No, people, you know, there's other people. Not you. But, you know, we have bad days, right? Sometimes we do it. Sometimes people do it. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to better leave them before they stone me, all right? But let me tell you the truth. Ready? In the midst of my bad days, in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of the hurt and then just feeling crazy, the truth is, God is always with you. Always with you. He's always with me. He's good. Everybody say, God is good. He is good, and he said he's always with me. All right. So you can never say, well, I'm just all alone. No, you're not all alone. God is good, and he's always with you. Praise the Lord. Let me give you, gosh, how am I going to do this? I'm just going to rattle off some scriptures. Ready? So write this down. Psalm 46, verse 1. And write down Psalm 139, verse 8. I'm going to smush them. Okay? God is always with us. God is ever present. Okay? God is our refuge and our strength, an ever present help in time of need. Verse 139, verse 8, chapter 139, verse 8. If I go up to the heavens, you are with me. If I go make my bed in the depths of the earth, you are with me. Here's another one. Isaiah 43, 2. When I pass through the waters, I will be with you. God said, I'll be with you. By the way, you got to pass through the waters. Those are bad days. You will pass through them. And God's saying, I'll be with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. That is so good, right? Then Isaiah 43 verse 5, don't be afraid for I am with you. Okay. Did you hear that? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to abandon you. So write this down. This is the big idea for the whole day. I put it at the end of the message. You ready? Praise God. I can face any why, any doubts, any questions. I can face any whys when I know who is with me. I can face any questions, doubts, bad days when I know who is with me. So, the day you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, put his life inside of you, his spirit inside of you, made you brand new, and he said, I'll never leave you. And I will, and I am victorious, so therefore you can walk through this. So, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, even when I write these plans for God on my worst bad day ever, and he does not do my plan, God is with me. Even when, you know, the timeline, like, come on, God, give me the answer, isn't my timeline. God is with me, right? Even when I don't understand and I might have to wait till I get there, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. And I know what to do with my whys. God. And let me say this. Well, let me tell you. Oh, my golly, gee whiz. Glory, hallelujah. 5 minutes. Don't look at the clock. Can I have 5 minutes? Pastor Bill Winston lies every time he says that. We go to his meeting, it's like a half hour later. Okay. There's this very famous lady. Her name is Fanny Crosby. She was born in the early 1900s. She lived to be 95. Woohoo! All right. And she had some bad days. And she had a lot of questions that she would machine gun. She was a believer, okay? But Fanny, when she reached 6 weeks old, she was having some problems with her eyes. And by the way, doctors don't know everything. And back then, aren't as advanced as they are. They put this salve on her eyes, and she went blind. So she lived almost 95 years blind. You think you got some questions like, why? You think? Right? Why? How come? I don't know. Uh-huh. Okay, listen to this. Fanny learned how to play a ton of instruments. I can't even get the clapping down, guys. Just don't get the rhythm thing, all right? And then she went to write more than 8,000 hymns. And you all know one of her famous ones. Ready? Blessed Assurance. Okay, so how could she write that? Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. Are you kidding me? So people would ask her, she loved the Lord. You read her hymns. And I didn't grow up in a denomination where I knew hymns. So every time you guys show me one, I'm like, whoa. Okay. But this is a great one. People would ask her questions. Hey, don't you ever doubt God? You know, what would you do if you had your sight? And this is the thing she would say many times, all the time rather. What would you do if you had your sight? And she says, you know what? I can do this. I can get through this. She said, the first person I want to see with my eyes is my Lord and Jesus. And that's why she wrote that. She was okay with her whys and her doubts because she knew she had this assurance that she knew God and it was going to all pan out. It was, I don't know if I can do that, but I can't even get through this. Okay. Yeah, she did. Okay, can't see. Praise the Lord. So, let's wrap up here. Bad days. Jesus had his worst bad day. Job had a bad day for a long day, okay? How do you walk through your bad days? How do you walk through these questions that make no sense? Why do good people have bad things happen? Why do bad people have good things happen? That's no fair. How do you walk through there? I know my God. I know who's with me. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's always with me. And I have this assurance. He will help me walk through.